Thank you for joining us for this week's message at Crosswind Church. If you have any questions about this message or about Crosswind Church, please visit us at www.crosswindchurch.net or you can email us at info@crosswindchurch.net.
Good morning. My name is Jerry and I'm the pastor here. I'm so thankful that you have joined us for worship this morning. I do want to make one quick announcement before we move forward. It is the official, unofficial start of summer, I think, Memorial Day, as Bentley pointed out. So that means there's a lot of stuff that is going on. You may have noticed we're raising money for missions, student life camp, which is next week, Kid Jam, which is happening later on in the summer. And one of the things I want to make you aware of that's going on, not next week, but the week after, is Vacation Bible School here at Crosswind Church. You can find out all the information about that by going to the I Am Crosswind app or asking one of our volunteers out at the Welcome Center. If you're interested in volunteering for VBS any day, it's fun, high energy. The thing is, here's AMP, which I have no idea what that means, but it sounds really cool, and I'm sure that some folks like Seth would say that they're stoked for it. But regardless of that, you might want to sign up. You can also do that on the app or out in the foyer as well. A couple weeks ago, we actually celebrated graduation recognition, and one of the things that I shared with you all was that our graduates, the folks that were graduating this year, were born in the year 2000, which really makes me feel kind of old. Even older than the fact that I wanted to look up a few game show. I wanted to talk to you about a game show. It came out a year in the United States, a year before these graduating seniors were born. I thought, good, not any better illustrations. But you guys know the show is still on, right? The show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It started in 1999, if you can believe that, here in the United States, in the British version that started the year before. The idea is real simple. You know that if you can answer about 14 trivia questions, you can win $1 million. And back in the late 90s, that was really cool. I mean, it's a really cool deal now. I would love that. But it's kind of a cool deal because you could walk in and within a matter of about 30 minutes, you walk out a millionaire. Like, that was absolutely mind-blowing to us. And so most of Americans kind of glued to that for a little while Regis was doing it and asking if it was your final answer. And you didn't have to answer the questions on your own. You got three lifelines in the original show that you could participate. There was 50-50, which means they took out half of the answers. There was the ask the audience. You always wanted to ask the audience early on in the show because that was the easy questions. When it got a little harder, the audience was a little sketchy. You know what I'm saying? The last lifeline was the phone a friend lifeline. So that meant you had like folks that you possibly knew that were experts in certain areas. And if you got stumped on a question, you could have Regis call them up on the phone, and you have 30 seconds to ask the question to them and get a little bit of help from it. One of the first guys, if not the first guy, to win $1 million was a guy by the name of John Carpenter. You may remember him. He's since moved on to kind of some fame. After that, he's been on some TV shows and some movies following that, where he always seems to play a game show contestant. But in the game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, John Carpenter wins, and he gets through all the questions to the final $1 million question without using a lifeline. Like, he just blows through them like it's no big deal. And he gets to the very last question, the $1 million question, and the question was, which following presidents was on the television show Laugh-In? And he goes, I want to phone a friend. And everybody's like, he wants to phone a friend. He hasn't used a lifeline at all. He wants to phone a friend. And so he calls his father. I want to call my dad. The phone rings, and his dad answers. He goes, hey, Dad, it's John. I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'm on the $1 million question, and I got to be honest with you. His words. He says, I don't need your help. I just wanted you to know I was about to win $1 million. And I thought, that dude is bad. Like, that is incredible, right? And the reason that I like that, and the reason that like, you know, I think a lot of us kind of like that is because there's something inside, like, we want to know we did it on our own. We didn't need any help, right? We didn't need to ask anybody certain things. The truth of the matter is that in my life, I don't know about yours, but in my life, there's a lot of times where I had to really kind of ask folks for help because I just didn't quite understand what it was that I was trying to do. So right after Jody and I moved to Fort Worth, Texas, I was working a part-time job and going to school full-time, and she was working a job as administrative assistant, and we were living in a one-bedroom apartment, and Jody noticed that as we were drying the clothes, doing laundry one day, that the clothes weren't getting dry. And that's not good, right? So I went in and I kind of looked. Sure enough, there's no heat coming out of our clothes dryer. Now, I don't know if you know how clothes dryers work. I don't. But I knew that the heat was important. And so I was like, we got to figure out what's going on. We didn't have money to pay somebody to come and fix it. We didn't have money to go and buy a new drying machine. And so I was like, well, I'm going to fix it, right? I mean, if another man did it, then I can do it. And the first thing I did is I called my dad. And then I called her dad. And then I called my grandpa. Anybody that possibly would know something about fixing drying machines, I called because I didn't know how to do it, but I knew they would at least know where to take the back panel off. They would at least have an idea as far as what it might be and what might be wrong with that drying machine. And about 15 phone calls later and an entire Saturday, sure enough, I got it fixed, but I didn't know how to do it. And so I was willing to call somebody. And the thing is, I can give you example after example after example of things that I didn't know how to do. And so I had to call somebody to get help. And I would love to stand up here and tell you that I'm the hero in all of those stories because I was willing to admit that I didn't know how to do something and call somebody and ask for help. But the truth of the matter is that I want to tell you today is that there are just as many times in my life that I knew I didn't know how to do something and I still didn't call somebody to ask for help. But what happens in my life, what that means for Jeremy, is that I put it off. It means I don't really know. We're just going to not do that later. In fact, if you were to walk into my house right now, we have a sunken living room in our home, okay, meaning that there's steps that go down to it, which is a terrible design if you're building a house. No, don't. And when we paid the guy to do the floors, the stairs didn't get done. And I remember saying to Jamie, don't worry, we can do those stairs later. We've been living in the house 3 years. The stairs are still not done because you're deceived. I didn't know how to do it. And I really haven't just come around to asking somebody yet how to do it, right? And the thing is that you know and that I know is there's all kinds of stuff inside of us that tells us that we just need to know how to do it on our own. We don't want to go ask for help. But you have had situations and I've had situations where we needed to lean into somebody. We needed to ask somebody. We needed to get that help. We maybe just didn't go ask for one reason or another. See, the thing is that the lie that you buy into and the lie that I buy into on some level is that if I don't know something, that means that I'm weak. If I don't know something, it means that something is lacking in me. But here's the truth. Not knowing something doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you're human. Right? We're not supposed to know it all. So we're right at towards the end of this series called Pack Your Bags. And the entire point of this series is to try to prepare you for what is coming next. Because whether you have just been through a transition or you're moving into a transition, there's a new season that's in front of you, there's something that's different that's on the horizon that's coming. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. We all go through these transitions. And the thing that I want you to understand is this. When you want to put together a plan, when you want to prepare for what's next, part of that comes with knowing what is next. And the thing is that you don't know what the next season holds because you haven't been in the next season yet. And so it's okay for you to admit that I don't know. It doesn't make you weak. It makes you human. And so if you've never been married, it's important that maybe you find somebody that has been married or that's been in a successful marriage, even better, right? And go sit down with them and say, hey, what is it that I can expect? And I'm going to kind of filter out all of the garbage advice that people give me at my wedding. And I'm going to hone in on some couples that I really trust. Listen to what it is that they're having to say. If it's another marriage or you're blending families and you've never done that before, then let's find someone that's done that successfully and say, tell me, how do we navigate things like disciplining our children? How do we navigate things like step-parents and biological parents? And how do we kind of get through those things? Because we've never done it before, so we're going to lean into somebody that has. We're going to lean in, we're going to ask to see what it is that's going on. When you're moving to a new city, when you're moving to a new town, when you're taking a new job, whatever that transition is from high school to college, from college to the workforce, like who is somebody that I know that's kind of leaned into that has already done that, made that transition? And how can I sit with them and how can I ask them for help with regard to this? Because here's the thing. Even though your heart is going to tell you that not knowing is going to put you off as weak, not knowing, all it does is it tells other people that you're, in fact, human. And you don't know everything. And that, friends, is absolutely okay. So today I'm going to give you a Bible passage as we move forward in this series called Pack Your Bag. So far, we've learned some really cool things. So far, we've learned that if you're not the person you expect to be in the next transition, now you're not going to be it then, right? You said a new you and a new view, or a new view and a new stuff doesn't make a new you. Wherever you go, there you are. That's kind of what we said, right? We learned that hey, the anchor that grounds us, that we focus on, it can't be our bank account, or it can't be our relationship. It's got to be Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. And because God made that promise and kept that promise, then he's going to keep the promises that he's made to you. And today, we're going to learn that the wisest man that ever lived, a man by the name of Solomon, actually is going to advise us, you and me, to lean into other people and ask for help as we transition or as we move into the next season of life. So we're going to take a look at the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be in chapter 20, although I'm going to read a couple other Proverbs along the way. We're going to be in chapter 20, and I want to start out in verse verse 18, and we're going to start out in just the first part of this and read a little bit and talk a little bit. Chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs, verse 18 says this: plans are established by seeking advice. Plans are established by seeking advice. This is good. This is good because when we move to the next phase, we want plan. We want preparation. That's very important. We said that plan and preparation always trumps just knowing what's coming. And so we're going to have to then, in some way, kind of figure out how we're going to ask for advice. The problem that I have with this is this, and my wife is sitting here, and she may say amen and throw stuff at me. Here's the thing. I like knowing. I like knowing stuff. And so the thought that I don't know stuff, especially as a child, but even now as an adult, really kind of bugs me just a little bit. So I feel like I should know it. As a child, what I did is I just faked it. As a child, I just faked it, and I just kind of lied and manipulated my way through the things that I didn't know. When I was in the seventh grade, I was a part of the choir at my middle school, Hopkinsville Middle School Choir. I was a part of that. And it was near the end of the school year, and they were taking pictures for the yearbook. Yearbook picture day. That's incredible. I love yearbook picture day, so we didn't have to go to a lot of class. I didn't know that we were taking choir pictures that particular day, and so I didn't really have my outfit going like I like it. You know, I didn't really have things going exactly. It wasn't all great, which that was most days, but I think my mama taught me on picture day, like that's what people are going to have for years in the future. That's how they remember you. You want to get it going like you like it. So I didn't quite have it all going. I had this shirt that was probably a little bit too big for me, and jeans that probably had stains on it from the lunch cafeteria that day. Like that was just kind of what I was doing. And they came over to the intercom and they said this to us. They said, everybody that's in the choral department needs to come to the gym for pictures. And then they used this phrase. It's so funny now I think about it. They said, please be prompt. I had no idea what the word prompt meant. But I assumed, because my mom always said on picture day you needed to dress nice, that it had to do with something with the way that you presented yourself, like the way that you looked. That's what I assumed. And so I'm like, I could ask what the word prompt meant, but I'm not gonna make people think that I'm stupid, right? I'm not gonna do that. So I just assumed, and I looked down at my outfit and I was like, this is not, mama wouldn't be proud, but that's okay. We're gonna go on to the gym. And so I get to the gym and I'm standing in line. I to wait for my picture. There's another group getting their picture made. We're standing in line in the park, and I'm standing next to this girl. She was kind of hot, okay? Instead of this girl, and she had it going on like she liked it. You know what I'm saying? She had it going on like I liked it. She was just an attractive young lady, right? And we're both seventh graders, okay? So anyway, we're standing there and we're talking back and forth, and we were kind of friends, but I was constantly stuck in the friend zone. So I was there with her, we were kind of talking, and I had to acknowledge, right, because I had this pretty girl beside me, I had to acknowledge that I didn't look good. Like, I had to acknowledge that my outfit was not so. And so, as we're talking about the pictures, she was like, I didn't know you're gonna have pictures today, and my hair, whatever. And I said, yeah, do I look really prompt? I mean, come on. She went. She said, do you know what prompt means? And so I did what seventh grade boys do. I lied. I was like, yeah, I know what it means. In Europe, that's what they, I don't know. I just tried to backpedal something because I just couldn't get it, because there was something inside of me that just didn't want to admit that I didn't know, because it made me feel weak, it made me feel less than, it made me feel dumb. Do you know what I've learned as I get older? And then I wish that I could totally just embrace
use this in every aspect of my life. Here's what I discovered as I got older, right? There is freedom in admitting that you don't know. There's freedom in admitting that you don't know. When I moved to Northwest Tennessee, I was not an outdoorsman. I'm still not an outdoorsman, right? But I'd been squirrel hunting as a child. Like, that was it. I'd never done any hunting or whatever. And on the search team to bring me here was the great Kelly Powers, right? Who not only has outdoor store, but is the world champion goose caller. And the search team was like, you should really Google Kelly. Like, he's a celebrity, you know, kind of thing. So I find out who he is. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. I don't know how to do that. That's pretty cool. And then the day came, right, where he goes, hey, I'm going to take you. You're going to go duck hunting with me. And I was like, oh. Well, you know, I mean, I can handle a gun. Like, I mean, I'm not going to hurt somebody with it. Like, I know how to handle a gun, but never done this before. This is a little outside of my comfort zone. And it's 5 a.m. and he pulls up in his truck and he's got his boat. We're getting ready to drive to Hickman. We're going to be in a duck blind. There's breakfast involved. I don't understand. Maybe cable TV. I don't know how it all works. And so I'm like a little bit anxious, right? And because it's early and I just don't want to mess this up. I want to be there with other guys. And so I can remember I got into his truck and I sat down. We hadn't even made it out of my neighborhood. And I said these words to him. I said, hey, listen. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I mean, don't be afraid. I'm not going to shoot anybody. Like, I know how to do that. But like, you're going to have to tell me if I make a mistake. You're going to have to tell me if I do something stupid or foolish or dangerous even. Like, because I don't know. It's not that I'm being reckless. I don't know, right? And he was like, oh, man, I got you. I was like, I don't think you understand how little I get. Like, just point me in the direction, put me on the side, keep me out of the way. And I'm telling you, it was like this weight that was just lifted completely off of me because I was like, listen, I want to go and I want to have fun. I'm so appreciative for you and Matt Riley and Dylan and Tommy, all of you guys that are taking me hunting and all that. Like, I love that. I'm so thankful. But I really, really, really have no idea what it is I'm doing. And it just releases you. There's freedom in admitting that you don't know. You know, as much flack as the next generation below me gets, I think this is something that they get a little bit better maybe than some of us that are older. A couple weeks ago, I got a phone call from a college graduate. He's getting ready to graduate. He's already now graduated. This is before he graduated from college. And he's come here some, but he's not a regular attender here. And he calls me up and he goes, hey, man, can we go get lunch? And I was like, well, sure. I have to eat anyway. And we go to eat lunch and he sits down and says, man, I'm going to seminary. What do I expect? What's it going to be like? What do I need to avoid? What do I need to be sure I do? And I'm like, here's something I know, right? I've been here. I've done that. Yeah, that is awesome. And I was like, how much foresight does it take in this college student to go, I'm going into a new phase, a new season of life, and I'm going to reach out to somebody that's been where I've been and has already gotten through it. I'm just going to ask what it is that he might have to offer me. Solomon says that plans are established by seeking advice. He goes on to say that so, plans are established by seeking advice. So, if you wage war, obtain guidance. Now here's the thing. When we start thinking about that, waging war and taking guidance and all that, this makes sense on some level, right? It's Memorial Day where we're honoring men and women that have gone to war and passed away in the service of our country. We understand that. We understand that a general would want to know everything that he could know or she could know about the opposing army that they're going to fight against. They want to know the terrain of the land. They want to know what weapons that their enemy has. They want to know how many troops they've got. They want to know what they have at their disposal, right? We kind of understand that we would want all the intel before it is that we go to war. We also get this because coaches do this. What I've learned is that sometimes T-ball coaches do this. Right? You ever been to a T-ball game and see another coach scouting a team as you're playing later? A bit much, okay? But especially when you get to high school, college, and beyond, coaches will watch hours of video of the teams that they're going to play so they can see what personnel that they have. What are they good at? Right? What are we going to have to defend? What are the weaknesses and how can we exploit them so that we can win the game? We understand that from a military standpoint. We understand that from a coaching standpoint. But there are very few people in this room that are ever going to get to coach on that level or be a military leader on that level in this room here today. But do you want to understand something? You wage war every day in your life. You wage war as you seek to implement new disciplines. You wage war as you seek to overcome addictions and bad habits. You wage war, you know this is true, in your marriage. This is why premarital counseling is so incredibly important. Every couple that comes and sits down with me for premarital counseling, here's what I say to them. Some of you have done this, you've got to hear this. My job, I tell them, is not to solve all of your problems or fight all your battles for you. My job is to raise the awareness to the battle because it's coming, right? And if you need help working through that, if you need help searching scripture, if you need help and have a third party that doesn't have a dog in the hunt, right, that can kind of help you navigate that and work that out, that's what I'm here for. But my job is not to solve every problem or tell you what's right for you in your marriage with the way that you handle money or the way that you handle in-laws. Because the truth of the matter is, right, we know, don't we? Those of us who've been married for a little while, we know what you're going to fight about. Your advice, you don't know how to talk to each other. Because one of you is a boy and one of you is a girl. You're going to fight because you have in-laws. You're going to fight because you have to manage money. You're going to fight because of the word that starts with S and ends with X and doesn't come between 5 and 7. Right? You're going to fight about that. We know. Money, sex, in-laws. Like, these are the things you fight about because you can't talk to one another. We know that ahead of time. So look, we just want to give you a heads up. Here's some of the battles that we fought. Here's the way, and when I cancel, here's the way that I lost most of those battles, right? Here's how to be better than me. That's what I want you to tell them. Learn from my mistakes. Like, listen, we know that in your marriage, you're going to fight battles. In your marriage, you're waging war. You're waging war against sin in your life. If you're going to go to war, you need to develop a plan, and plans are developed when you seek advice. All of that makes sense. Before I move on, I want to tell you that what Solomon's getting ready to do is he's getting ready to kind of say, you need to go ask advice, and then in the next verse, he's going to give us a little bit of a warning. Now, some scholars would think that maybe the next verse doesn't go with this verse. Proverbs can kind of be a little pithy sometimes, that they can kind of be a little disjointed, but I don't think that it's a mistake that this verse comes right after the verse before, right? We're going to go right to Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 19. This is what Solomon says. He says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. See, we all know that person that talks too much. Don't we? Give me names, don't know the other person next to you. We've all sat in the stands at the ballpark and heard folks talk about their players on their team, coaches on their team, and people all around the community. We've gone to the dance studio and sat in the waiting room and listened to the folks talk. We've been to barbershops and beauty salons and car dealerships, and we've been to the water cooler at our work. We all know those individuals that seem to know a little bit about everything and seem to thrive on knowing too much about everybody, and who are real quick to tell you what it is that they know. In fact, on some level, they get this kind of high by knowing stuff that other people don't know, right? What I love to do in the church, sometimes in the church, we don't call it gossip, we just call it prayer requests. Right? Come on. Like, you've never done that. Listen. What Solomon goes is this: listen, you need to go ask advice, but here's the thing. You need to be selective about who you ask advice from, right? So, for instance, the individual that's on their fifth marriage is probably not who you need to go ask marriage advice from. Probably not, okay? The person that you know that has struggled and is still struggling in a particular area, that may not be the person that you need to go ask, right? And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the advice that you get needs to be biblically based and biblically sound and rooted in what God's Word has to say for you and your family. Therefore, you need to go to somebody that is rooted in the Word of God. And what is it he has to say? You need to go to a godly, biblical counselor to go and to get that advice. And And Solomon goes, listen, you need to go seek out advice from other people, but you need to be cautious. Because in some cases, what you ask advice from can be used as a weapon against you by a gossip. Sometimes when you go and you ask for help from certain people, all they give you is what's going on the gossip circuit around town. What they've heard through the grapevine about other people. And they transition it away from solving your problem and let you know how somebody else didn't solve theirs. That is not helpful advice. You go seek advice because you want help, not because you want the latest scoop. And so Solomon goes, when you go seek advice, you need to make sure that you do it in such a way that you're careful with who you speak to. Every small group, every home group that I get to be a part of, I get to tell them this on some level. Because as a pastor, I need you to understand something. As a pastor, I'm a human being. In fact, I'm a human being first, right? I'm doing my best to follow Christ and do what he has to say, but there's times where I mess up, and there's times where we struggle, and there's times when Jody and I have escalating conversations that some people would even say were fights. There's times where I need help. Because at the end of the day, I'm just a guy trying to figure it out just like everybody else. But sometimes in our communities, we take folks that have maybe a public persona like a pastor or school teachers, right? Or counselors in the community, and we go, well, they must never have any problems with anything. And so when word finally gets out that, hey, I need some advice on something or I need some help about something, it's real easy for other folks to turn that around and use that against us. As a result, when I sit down at home, I go, listen, I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I just need you to understand. I'm just a dude. I'm just a human being, right? And I need you to understand I'm putting a level of trust in you all. When you sit down with your advisors, we need to be cautious, but we don't need to allow that caution and that trepidation to keep us from asking the advice of other people. One last thing I want to say about this, and then we'll kind of go on. Sometimes I hear older folks in the congregation or in our groups kind of downplay this. Well, there's no more transition for me, right? Like I'm already retired, like the next transition is not necessarily what I'm looking forward to, whatever it may be, right? You hear that all the time. This is what I need you to understand. If you are a little bit farther along down the road, we need you to engage. We need you to come alongside us and go, hey, listen, I've been there. I've been the empty nester. Hey, I've been there. I've sent my kids off to college. Hey, I've been there. I've invited my kids back into the home. Hey, I've been there. I've been asked for money, right, by my kids and by family. I've been there. I've retired. I know what that's like. Hey, I've been there. I've been married for 50 years. Come on, listen, at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal. They'll tell you those things, and you can take it to heart. We need you to be engaged. We need you to be involved. Because after all, the best plan involve asking advice. The best preparation involves leaning in to other people. Now, we get this. Come on. There's not a person in this room that if we were to pass the mic around, wouldn't go, yeah, that's true. Yep, that's true. I believe that to be true, and I think probably we should ask more advice. Here's the question that I want to kind of follow that up to. If that's true, if you believe that's true, then why don't we do it? If that's true, then why don't we do it? I think it's a valid question. As I was thinking this week and reading and listening to other messages on this topic, there were three kind of things that came out that I just want to run into the reasons why we don't ask for advice, okay? The first reason that I think we don't ask for advice is that we don't know that we need it. We don't think that we need it. We don't believe that we need it, right? Okay? This is not something we're going, I think that we need. I lived in Birmingham, Alabama for 4 years before we moved back there to pastor. I went to college there in Birmingham for 4 years. By the time I was a junior senior, I knew my way around town. I knew where things were. What blew me away is that my mom and my dad would come and visit me, and they would say, we want to go see this tourist attraction, or we want to go to this shopping center, or we want to do whatever. I knew where it all was. And so I look at my father, and I go, Dad, I know where we're going. Come on, I'll drive you. And his response is so funny. I'd been there for 4 years, and he would go, yeah, I'll find it. Hey, what? You understand? I know. Yeah, okay, I'm sure you know, but I'm sure I can get there. Why don't you just ask the truth of the matter? He needed help. He just didn't want to admit it. He just didn't think that he needed help. This is the key for us as we mood and the transition. We've got to be willing to know what we don't know. We've got to be willing to know what we don't know, own it and accept it, and realize that not knowing doesn't make me weak. It makes me human. The other reason I don't think we ask for help is this one. This is my favorite. It's because we don't want to be honest with ourselves, or maybe we don't want people to be honest with us. Right? Because if I go and I ask for advice, they may tell me something that I don't want to hear. And I don't want to be really honest with myself about what it is that's going on. And you all know that I can get sick a lot easier than most folks, and my immune system doesn't quite work right. And there's times where, like, I'll have a little trouble breathing or have a little twinge of pain somewhere or whatever. And I know that there's probably doctors that can help me. But I don't really want to go ask them. Because if I go ask them, they might tell me something that I don't want to hear. Come on. This is why you lie to the doctor. This is why when you go sit down in the doctor's office and they say, how much do you smoke and how much do you drink? You lie. Right? And because if I tell them, then they're going to be honest with me. They're going to say, hey, maybe we should put that down. Or, hey, maybe we should not as much. Or, hey, we should, you know, we're hesitant. This is why we lie to the dentist. When you go in and they say, when was the last time you flossed? And you go, well, I did this morning because I know it's coming here. And the last time I flossed, let's see, you did it, right? Like that's why we lie. It's because if we tell the truth, if we really lean in and seek advice, we're afraid they may tell us something that we don't want to hear. This is why you don't go seek counseling. This is why you don't come talk to your pastor. You're afraid he's going to tell you. You're afraid she's going to tell you, right? Hey, it's time to move out. It's time to get away from that. It's time to put that down. It's time to stop whatever destructive behavior it is that you're doing. So we don't ask advice because, number one, we don't think that we need it. We don't ask advice because we're afraid to be honest with ourselves, and we're certainly afraid people will be honest with us. And the last reason I think we don't ask for advice is because really we just don't know who to ask. Maybe you've been burned before. Maybe you sought advice from the wrong person. Maybe you sought advice from people that have used that as a weapon to tear you down. And you've been burned one too many times and you go, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to figure this out on my own. I don't need anybody's help. Even if I did need somebody's help, I don't know who I'd talk to. I don't know who I'd ask. I don't know where I would go. Because everyone in my life seems to be somebody that's destructive when it comes to advice. We have to admit what we don't know. We have to really take an honest look at ourselves and what's going on. And number two, I think we have to intentionally put ourselves in a position with people where they can speak into our lives. The place that I think is best for that to happen here at Crosswind Church is in our home groups. This is a place where you can get around individuals, where you can share what's going on in your life, and they can share what's going on in their life, and you can speak into each other's lives. And the trust doesn't get built overnight in most cases. In some cases, it takes weeks or months. But we can't give up simply because of a couple bad experiences. Because as we transition to the next season, we don't know what the next season holds because we haven't been there. Planning and preparation trumps just kind of seeing it coming. And plans are made by seeking many advisors. And just for that, I'm going to pray. And I want us to ask ourselves this question. What are the areas of my life where I need to start being honest with myself? What are the areas of my life where I don't know what's coming next? Where I don't know what to expect in the next season? That for me to prepare and to pack means that I've got to start creating a favorites list on my phone of men and women that I can trust to speak truth into the heart. Where are the areas that you need to be honest? What is it that you don't know? And then how can you surround yourself with God and people? When I get finished praying, we're going to dismiss our service. And back here in our starting point room, our elders and our counselors there, they're all involved in home groups. Bentley Beard, who stood and gave the welcome announcements today and hosted today, he is our home groups director here at Crosswind Church. If you'd like to know more about Crosswind, you can go to the app and go to the Crosswind Facebook I'm sorry, go to the Crosswind app and click on the home group tab on there, and there you can see a list of all the home groups that are meeting, where they're meeting, and what time they're meeting. If you'd like information about more, you can fill out a form there on the app, and it'll be sent to us, and we'll send it out to some home group leaders we think you would fit best with, and we'll have them contact you. Because we believe that the best plans are made when we seek advice of others, and we believe that you need to intentionally put yourself in a circle rather than a row in order to best prepare for what is next. Because as you pack your bags for the next season, you need to take some other folks along with you. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to give us here to come and to worship you. Thank you for the community that you have given us at Crosswind and their home groups. God, thank you for the men and women that you've placed around us that we can trust to give us good, godly, sound advice. And there's not a person in this room that doesn't know the fact that we don't know some stuff. There's not a person in this room that doesn't know that we don't need other people. But for whatever reason, we tend to hold back from it. And maybe it's pride. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's any number of reasons that we mentioned today or didn't mention. Whatever it is, God, I pray that you would empower them. Give them the wisdom to recognize those areas where they're struggling. And then give them the strength to take that step. And to pick up the phone. And to phone a friend. For just a little bit of advice. For just a little bit of help. God, we worship you today. We thank you for your word. But most importantly, we thank you for Jesus who died for our sins and rose again from the grave. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming out. See you next week. Have a great Memorial.